Welcome to Gambling with an Edge with your hosts Bob Dancer and Michael Shackelford. Bob Dancer is America's premier video poker writer and teacher. He's in the Video Poker Hall of Fame, and he has written 10 books, including Video Poker for the Intelligent Beginner and the best-selling Million Dollar Video Poker. He helped develop the Video Poker for Winners computer software. Michael Shackelford is the force behind the websites Wizard of Odds, Wizard of Vegas, and Wizard of Macau. An actuary by profession, Michael has been analyzing the whole gamut of casino games since 1995. His Wizard of Odds website explains the best strategies for 140 different casino games. Michael is also the author of Gambling 102, The Best Strategies for All Casino Games, and is a former adjunct professor of gaming math at UNLV. The goal of the show is that, by listening, you will be a more knowledgeable gambler tomorrow than you were yesterday. And now, here are Bob and Mike.
Good evening. Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. I'm Bob Dancer.
I'm Mike Shackelford.
Tonight, our guest is Kelly Flynn, my favorite Las Vegas master of ceremonies. Shirley and I have been at numerous events hosted by Kelly, and he's likely handed us more than $250,000 in prize money over the years. That's possible. That's one reason he's my favorite MC. We'll be talking to Kelly shortly. Our presidential election is getting closer. While expressing political opinions is not what this show is all about, betting on the election definitely falls within our wheelhouse. Michael, what are the latest lines in terms of betting on the election?
The latest Pinnacle odds, which are the ones that I trust the most, are Obama minus 209, Romney plus 187. If we split the difference, that would make the line on Obama 198, implying a 66.4% chance of winning.
Now, putting that in context of, say, NFL football, would that be like a 3-point advantage or a 4-point advantage in terms of odds? Would that be what it was like?
Yes, that would be equivalent to a 4-point advantage in the NFL. So it's still a close game.
So those, like last week, the Giants were 5-point dogs.
And they won.
And, well, they creamed the 49ers. Interesting. Now, I was actually looking at the Bovada website yesterday. I haven't looked today. And at that point, Obama was minus 260. And that's a huge difference from 209. Is it a one-day shift? Or are your dates up to date? Or
I checked the lines about 2 hours ago before I came to the studio. And I'm sure that Bovada takes much smaller bets on this than Pinnacle does. I think on Pinnacle you can bet up to $5,000 on this. So I'm sure that the volume of money on these two bets running through Pinnacle is much more than Bovada. So that's why I tend to think that it's a best estimator.
All right. Now, in addition to not talking about politics, we also don't talk about religion. Except, last week, our guests were from the Holy Roller Blackjack Team, which are a group of conservative Christians who collected more than $3 million by playing blackjack in casinos. Now, Michael took the position that Christians should be out there saving the world rather than spending their time gambling. Now, while our guests didn't seem to have any objections at all to Michael's tone and or questions, boy, did Michael hear about it on his website. Michael, what happened?
Yes, this subject, our show last week, got 232 posts about it, which is way more than any other show. I'm happy to say that almost every comment was complimentary about both us and Ben and Colin. They thought that I asked the questions that the makers of the Holy Rollers movie dodged, and they thought that Ben and Colin were very honest and forthcoming with their answers. So everyone seemed to like it, and after a while the discussion kind of degenerated into economics and politics and religion, but all's well that ends well.
But even after it degenerates, it's still part of the 262. So you can count it for that.
Yes, I did count it.
All right. Now, our guest tonight, Kelly Flynn, hasn't been properly introduced yet. But, Kelly, you have your own issues about being a Christian man hanging out in the casino.
Well, Bob, as you described, I would say that I'm definitely following the conservative Christian category. And the subject that I did not hear your show last week, so we'll see where I fall in. When I first came to town 25 years ago, and things started to open up around town here, I was like, I don't know if I should be doing this. Because there's, you know, most people are just regular folks, but Vegas has a lot of distractions and areas where one could slip into some trouble. And I struggled with it. I prayed about it. God, get me out of this. And every year the business just grew and grew and grew. And the end of that story is that I have found that, you know, as Christ came to save sinners, he didn't go hang out with all the good guys. And I've been put in a position a lot now in the casinos where I've been able to share things, help people, encourage people. And my wife and I, we've adopted 7 children. And that has become kind of a catalyst to people. They know that about us. And people come from all over at these casinos and ask about our latest adoption and that sort of thing. So for me, it has become, you know, as the Bible says, to be the salt and light of the earth. And so that's what I try to do.
Well, that's great. And where I would see the difference is you are providing a service to the city, to the guests of the tournaments and that you host, and you're providing them an entertainment. So you're doing a good thing for society, whereas with Ben and Colin, I saw them as only consuming from society.
Well, as I said, I didn't hear the program last week, but we all, you know, we have to provide one way or the other. And if they can do it efficiently and skillfully and legally, and, you know, that is an interesting area, is that the Bible specifically never really addresses a prohibition on gambling. There's a strong argument could be made for we should be good stewards of God's resources that he gives us. So you could say, well, is gambling really? But on this program, you guys actually encourage the smartest, best way and the best edge to do it. So it could be argued that, you know, you guys are just using a skill.
All right. And we're going to let the argument stand there and get away from religion for now anyway. And back to gambling. Now, several years ago, I wrote about a promotion at the Palms. In this promotion, invited guests would earn a pair of designer sunglasses that cost about $200 retail for every $10,000 of coin in, up to a maximum of 10 pair of sunglasses per person. At that time, they had $5 NSU, and it's worth $99.73, along with the slot club mailers, other promotions, so this was a fairly lucrative promotion. Shirley was still playing back then, so between us, we earned 20 pair of sunglasses. Before you rush to play this promotion, those machines and the manager who designed that promotion are both long gone. I was able to talk that particular manager into awarding $100 in free play for every pair of sunglasses we earned but didn't redeem. $100 for $10,000 coin in is 1%, which is a very juicy add-on to a game that was likely positive anyway, including the slot club and the mailers. Although Shirley could have easily found enough relatives to give away 40 pair of sunglasses if she had the chance, I was able to talk her down to taking 5 pair only and redeeming the others. I'm not sure if my successful negotiation with the casino manager to give me free play was more or less of an accomplishment than negotiating with Shirley to keep her redemptions down to only 5. Anyway, I wrote about this, and I recently received an email at gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com from somebody who vaguely remembered the article and is now involved in a promotion where he's earning jewelry that he doesn't want. He wants to apply the general technique I used during the sunglasses promotion and turn this jewelry into cash or free play. He wants me to tell him what percentage of face value he should be able to get. Yeah, right. There's no way in the world I can give him a meaningful number. Every negotiation is different. Sometimes you're able to talk to somebody who's able and willing to discuss different options with you, and sometimes the only people you have access to are by-the-book, no-exceptions sort of folks. Some people have a knack about them that people rush to give them things. Kelly can talk anybody into anything. Other people are so awkward that around them, even hookers play hard to get. The book I recommend studying to maximize your chances for success at this sort of thing is called Getting More by Stuart Diamond. This is not a book of negotiating tricks, but it is a book that describes a process where you can increase your chances for success. Michael, do you ever negotiate with casinos as a player to get something other than what they had in mind, or have you ever done that?
I've never done that, but I've negotiated with lots of players that had gift cards or jewelry or watches that they won in the casino and they were trying to sell. And I have made lots of such deals. And the value of, say, gift cards really depends on where the gift card is from. For example, the Apple Store, that's a very liquid gift card that I would pay 89 to 90 cents on the dollar. But if it's to, say, the a jewelry store in the Bellagio, then I'm only going to pay, at best, 50 cents on the dollar.
Yeah, because it's nice jewelry, but you're going to pay full price.
Yeah, I remember one time I was in a contest with somebody where we were splitting wins, and he won a Rolex watch, and none of the people that co-owned this watch really wanted it. So he put it on eBay, and it only got about 50 cents on the dollar.
Yeah. And good. All right. So let's talk about Kelly. Kelly Flynn has been emceeing events in Las Vegas for more than 25 years, often several events in one day or one evening. He's worked at virtually all the casinos in town. Shirley and I first got to know him in the late 1990s when we participated in events at Treasure Island, Mirage, Rio, and Golden Nugget, and Kelly was working all of them. A large percentage of our listeners have attended one or more events hosted by Kelly. He's beloved by all of us. Kelly Flynn, welcome to Gambling with an Edge.
Well, thank you, Bob. That's very nice. I don't buy a bit of it, but it's very nice. Thank you.
Late 1990s we met you?
I think that was about it. I mean, there was a lot going on.
It's all true. Yeah. We'll stop making him be humble. It's all true. Okay, good. Now, there have been some events, say a slot tournament over 2 days, where there's 200 contestants in it. And if you saw a list of those contestants before the event, sometimes you'd be able to describe 150 of them because you'd seen them at previous events and remembered them. How do you do this?
You know, the dirty little secret that the casinos don't want anyone to know is that really the piece of pie is pretty small. Folks that go to an event at one place will go to another and another based on offers, based on, you know, how they can put a trip together and go to three events in a week, you know. And so you just, over the years, get to see a lot of the same faces. And as I was saying earlier when we were talking about, most of these folks are just really regular, nice people. And it's easy to remember regular, nice people. There's some that aren't so nice. I remember them as well, but try not to welcome them too quickly.
Okay, Bob has seen you in way more than 100 different costumes, including a pirate, a leprechaun, a prisoner, a cowboy, several times in drag, a turkey, the Easter bunny, you name it. Do you have some particularly fond memories of a costume or particularly bad ones?
Had to bring up the dresses, didn't you, Bob? That's it. Uh-huh. You know, when we got in here tonight, I showed Mike a little iPad with a whole bunch of pictures, and it was kind of fun to look at them. There was one that I caught there. It was a deep sea or tropical theme, and I thought, what a great idea. I'll be a scuba diver. Now, because it's radio, you'll just have to trust me when I tell you that I'm a larger size guy, and, you know, 250. We call me double XL kind of guy. And so I went and rented the wetsuit, and I got the weights and the air tank and the hood and the mask. I've never done this. And we're on stage. The band is playing. I've got the wetsuit on, but I don't have anything else on. So we put on the fins. We put on this weight belt. You only need a weight belt when you're going underwater, not when you're walking on stage. Then I put on the air tank. And, I mean, you don't need it, but it looks good. So you got to have that on. By the time I'm loaded up with everything, I can barely move. I put the goggles on, and I feel my internal temperature going through the roof. And I'm about to walk in front of 30,000 watts of stage lights, right? And I'm thinking, this might not have been the best choice of costumes. The band starts with the under-the-sea music, and then the spotlights hit, and out I come. And I was probably the closest I have ever come to passing out any time in my life. I mean, it was just bad choice, great costume, and it looked great. But I don't recommend a wetsuit with weights and a tank and a mask in the desert on stage. That's just my bit of, you know, a little bit of advice for those of you who might consider it.
I'm having a flashback on that. Now, Shirley and I used to attend a lot of these parties where they would have a dance floor and music is part. And if there was a dance floor, Shirley and I would be on it. So now Kelly was dressed in drag numerous times, and if he happened to walk across the dance floor on the way to the microphone while I was dancing with Shirley, I would immediately drop Shirley, well, let her stop dancing, and I would start dancing with Kelly. I thought this was funny, ha ha ha. Kelly was always a good sport about this, but I must say he can't dance the female part of a West Coast swing worth beans.
Well, I have to say in my own defense, you try to do it in 3-inch heels, okay? It's not as easy as it appears. And I would like to publicly announce right now that those dances, Bob, were some of my fondest memories of the 90s. I want to thank you for those
times.
This
is too much information. Mike, why don't you ask a question before I get in trouble here?
Let's assume you are hosting a St. Patrick's Day slot tournament. Can you give us 30 seconds of instructions while sounding like a leprechaun?
Oh, leprechaun, indeed. Could I do a leprechaun for you? Well, you're welcome to Bellagio, friends, where your luck is like a city in Ireland, always Dublin. You know, the thing with, like, slot tournaments is that it's a machine where you push a button. I mean, and so what makes slot tournaments fun is all the extra stuff, the fluff, the decor, the themes. So I'm not really so much about maybe accents or so forth, but thematically, as you saw in those pictures earlier, and I could give the examples, you know, I was a ship captain this week. I was a boxer last week, not the dog, the fighter. Anything. And so it's, for me, it's more about getting into the character of the particular themes of the events.
Okay, this event, I hear, somehow got postponed until during the NFR rodeo. Can you give us 30 more seconds of instructions while sounding like a cowboy?
No, I can't. because you, and let me tell you why. And that's a great one. NFR is really serious. I mean, you don't want, when the town is cowboyed up, you do not ever want to be perceived as if you are making fun of, because those guys will hurt you. I mean, they're serious. I mean, they walk by, and I remember once during NFR at the Golden Nugget, George Strait, famous country singer, was his host was a guy named Bill Macbeth, now the president of ARIA, right? And I was at the Golden Nugget. I was coming down from my room. They were in the elevator, and I was dressed up like Hoss from Bonanza, you know, with the big hat, and I had on these electric chaps, and I mean, it was really, and we get in the elevator, and there's George Strait, gentleman that he is, and he's just smiling, and halfway down, he just busts out laughing about how ridiculous I look. Now, am I going to tell George Strait he's wrong? You know,
but he wasn't.
He wasn't. He was very right.
He wasn't.
But you know, yeah, you've got to be careful, and that's a good example of, you know, we would have fun dressing up. I dressed up as a heifer once during NFR, and a cow with udders. I had. I mean, it was, and a couple of guys wanted to take me out in 8 seconds. I mean, it was not good. So,
okay, I'll give you another chance. What would be your approach if it was a cruise giveaway and you're dressed up like a ship captain?
Okay, well, that one's easy. I did this yesterday, and the holes, the slot banks are dressed up like a cruise ship. The portholes are everywhere. The life preservers are there, and I'm dressed as a ship captain, look very dapper, and people get into it. They're like, permission to come aboard, Captain? And I'm like, yeah, sure. But, you know, I welcome them and I invite them to have dinner.
Did they salute you?
Several did, with a whole hand and occasionally with less digits. But I, as they're coming in to sit down, right before the session starts, I always try to do a little fun line. I give them all the rules and the information they need, and then I'll have a little liner. And in like the ship captain case yesterday, before we begin, with great sincerity, turn to the player next to you, shake their hand, and say, I hope you go down with the ship, you know. And that always, those kind of things always get a great laugh, and it kind of breaks it up, because after all, it's grown people going tap, 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 you know, for 10 minutes or 15. I mean, it used to be
30 minutes. Oh, that was awful.
And tournaments now across the country are going down to 3 to 5 minutes for good reason. I mean, you know, it is what it is. So there you go. Okay, there's my ship captain story, and I'm not going to give you any more.
All right. Now, you've made cameo appearances in both of my novels, Sex, Lies, and Video Poker, and more Sex, Lies, and Video Poker. Now, even though you tend to be very outrageous at events, deep down, you're a quiet family man. Has your appearance in these racy novels caused you any embarrassment over the years?
No, actually, the pictures of you and I dancing have caused me a lot more problems than that.
There's no pictures of that.
Oh, yes, there is, sir. And I'll show those to you later.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah. No, you know what? It's always fun, because there's people that would talk about it and ask me about it, and that have... Of course, I would just push them to Amazon and say, buy a copy and read it for yourself, because, you know, I like you, Bob. So
Thank you.
It's never been it's always been a positive, and I look forward to your next book. I expect a chapter in there.
A chapter.
Okay. During budget crises, casinos sometimes try to cut quarters. They might think that Susie, the host, can MC a slot tournament just as well as you. And she's already on the payroll, so she's cheaper. What do you bring to the party that Susie, the host, doesn't?
Well, I can look like Susie if I need to, but, you know, that's one
she
of those
probably things. Has more use to 3-inch heels
yeah,
than you.
I think so. But, you know, it's understandable. And there are some people that are comfortable and decent on a microphone, but it's more than that. When you are trying to communicate and, frankly, sell a casino's position, it's important to have someone that does it well. When you know, we're trying to encourage players to make sure to get the full benefits of whatever club it is, you know, whether it's M Life or whether it's Total Rewards or Be Connected Card, whatever they are, you know, I'm kind of a spokesman for that. And the difference between the person that's doing double duty and the person who's doing it now for 25 years is just, that kind of says it, you know? So I don't – sometimes I displace those people. I'll come into a new property and they – because they may have said something that really shouldn't have been said over a PA system. And you get more of that kind of stuff with folks that are hosts or work in some department. But, hey, I can do that. They also can say some things that can get a place in trouble. Not just language or content, but they can make implied promises – that could get them in trouble with gaming, you know, and that's an area where I'm pretty strong.
On our refrigerator door at home, there's a Christmas card picture from you and Jennifer showing you and lots of kids from various ethnic backgrounds. Tell us about your family.
Well, it's a pretty beautiful one. Our two oldest sons, we did the old-fashioned way. We
earned it.
Yeah, we earned it. We had fun and earned it, I'll tell you that. And then through a series of events, we felt we were led that we should be adopting. And it was a really – I grew up in Seattle. I grew up wonderful parents. I never heard a racial word in my life. My parents never had anything disparaging to say about anybody. When we got into here in Clark County, the foster to adopt program, and these are kids that have a very high probability that they're going to need a forever home because of, for whatever reasons, with the biological parents. And so we went through the whole program ready, and the first call came, and they said, it's an African-American little boy. And there was a little pause on the phone by me. And I just started contemplating, you know, he's different than me. Is he going to love me? Are we going to be okay? All of the stuff of society, you know, and the caseworker
I love her for this. She says, I'm really concerned that you say you want to help, yet you had this hesitation. And of course, I said, oh, let me go meet him. And literally, we went and met him, and because I had to save face, and I fell in love with that little guy the second I walked in. And that's kind of how it led. A biological brother of his was born later on, and you know, we have various shades of tans, I like to say, at our house. And some people ask why, and we felt we wanted to help wherever the greatest need was. And the county said, if you want a little white girl, forget it. If you want a little black boy, we can't find enough homes. And it's a sad testimony to our society, because these are innocent, beautiful children. But we have a beautiful family out of it. And as I said, I guess 7 children we've adopted now, and on our way to another one. So.
Well, that's great. Good for you. Okay. So when did you get started emceeing slot tournaments?
I came to town 25 years ago in 1987, and I was very fortunate, quickly got a job at a radio station. And, you know, when you're the young guy, you get the overnight shift, midnight to 6 a.m. And
is that $5 an hour? What is that worth?
Yeah, that exactly what it was back then, and it's about the same now. I don't think it will ever change. Lawrence here, I know, is getting 25 an hour running the board over here. 25 or 35, I can't remember, but he's doing well. But so I made $30 a day. But at that period, remember, the internet wasn't around. Media was much more limited. And so it helped to be able to say, Kelly Flynn from KVEG 840, which is now KXNT, you know, our big AM station. It was a 50,000-watt station. One morning, the phone rings. The overnight guy sticks around to help the morning guy. You want to kiss up to hopefully, you know, move up.
To get $6 an hour.
Maybe $6.50.
All right.
And I get a phone call from the Mint Casino, an old place, classic casino in downtown Las Vegas, no longer there. And it was the first year of slot tournaments. And they said, we need an announcer for a slot tournament. I said, what's that? And they said, it pays $500. I said, I'll figure it out. And so I went down. And I mean, that's what I made the whole month. I mean, the whole month for this one gig. And it was the crazy slot tournaments. And it was crazy then. People were just giddy because it was a new thing. And casinos at that point began to market to events. It was no longer, come stay at our beautiful hotel. It was, come play in this tournament, get two nights free, get this free food, given a chance at these prizes, etc. And that's when the whole marketing of town began to pivot and change. And that's how it started. Went from the Mint, and then back then, Jack Binion and Benny Binion was still part of Binion's, and they hired me. And then I got a gig at Caesar's Palace after that, and it kind of opened up the town from that point on. That's how it started. Yeah.
As master of ceremonies, are you just a hired mouth, or do you sometimes get involved in figuring out how the events will run?
You know, both. Some properties are very, they provide you the parameters, so they want you to do that. Others will look to me for some advice just because of 25 years. Have you ever done this before? And the answer is yes. There's nothing new. There's nothing new. I mean, everything is just a repackaging of something else. But I sometimes share that experience. And a few times, spent several years at the MGM when they opened. Very much a part of the back of the house. And we did a lot of unique slot marketing stuff, and I was very involved with that. So it's some I do, some I don't, and enjoy it all.
Okay. I hear you have some of what Bob likes to call Kellyisms. For example, in case of a machine malfunction, push your neighbor off his machine and keep on playing. Or you turn to your neighbor and say, sorry, Charlie, I'm going to win and you're not. Or when a man is being cheered on by his wife, sir, do you owe that lady behind you some money? She seems to be very interested in how you're doing. Those are some Kellyisms that Bob likes. What are some of the ones that you like?
Well, you know, a lot of them just are very spontaneous and they happen. Some of them I started a number of years ago because I'd say something, and I was like, that was kind of funny. And then I forget it because I did it at that moment. So I started probably a decade ago writing them down on the big themes, because I can guarantee you every year there'll be football-themed events. Every fall or spring or summer, there'll be baseball events, and they're all themed that way. And then there's the typical tropical events. And the basic themes will be there. And so I have a lot of those that I pull out for those particular events and try to not repeat myself, so it kind of keeps it fresh for everybody. I think one of my favorites is 25 years old, which I did at Binion's 25 years ago, which was, before we begin, would you, with great sincerity, turn to the player next to you, shake their hand and say, I'm sorry for your loss. And it always caught people off guard. And it still gets a good laugh. And so I keep it. I do it. But again, as I mentioned before, that
you have 45 variations of that same joke.
I do. And I'm not going to share them for my competition. Thank you. And so that's kind of, so many of these events are, they're anything in Las Vegas, as we know, is meant to bring players here. I mean, that's what it's all about. And so with that, we just try to keep it light and happy and fun. So the event itself kind of stands out in their mind, along with the opportunity to win.
Well, I appreciate that you poke fun at the fact that these are competitive events and the other players are your enemy. And one comment that has always bugged me is when an MC says in a tournament, good luck, everybody, because if everyone's getting the same amount of luck, then you're still all on the same playing field, and it doesn't help you.
Because I totally agree. I said, I would have you turn and wish the other player luck, but not one of you means it, so let's just skip it and move on. Because it's true. Nobody means it.
Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you. Well, I'm glad you're happy, Mike. That's all that matters.
Yeah, good luck to you, Michael. All right. Now, your first day in town. Now, when you came from Seattle, were you always going to stay here? It must have been hotter than you were used to.
No, I was actually driving through town. It was a Labor Day weekend. It was 95 degrees at 10 o'clock at night. Now, I had never experienced 95 degrees during the day in July in Seattle. It had never been that hot. And it was so wonderful to get out of the car and go, wow. And as I pulled off of Flamingo, that was the first exit I remember, there at Bally's, Frank Sinatra was there. And I was just... I think I'm a generation behind, I guess that's how you'd say it. I mean, I loved the Rat Pack guys were just my heroes and the old movie stars. So there's Frank Sinatra. I'm like, wow. And then I look to the left and there's Caesars. And there was the Jerry Lewis telethon. And I had always said I wanted to go do it. So I pulled down the strip. And in those days, the telethon was held in a tent behind Caesars Palace. And it was at Caesars for many, many years. And you had to wait. They rotated the audiences in and out. And I pulled in, and it's just so wonderfully warm. And I go inside, and I'm part of the audience. And I got a great seat right in the front row. I'm right there, front row. And I'm going, this is so cool. And all of a sudden, Johnny Carson, still on the air back then, and my ultimate comedic hero. And out comes Ed McMahon. I'm cool. It's Ed. And Ed does the introduction for Jerry Lewis. And Jerry comes out and he does his opening remarks. And then he says, I've got a friend, a little special friend who's dropped by. And this is that middle of the night segment, where a lot of times it's the ventriloquist and the barrel jumpers. And Sammy Davis Jr. comes out. He introduces Sammy. Sammy walks right out, 3 feet in front of me. And is singing Candyman, right? And I'm just going, this is my first hour in Las Vegas. Frank on the billboard, Ed McMahon at the tent, Jerry and Sammy Davis Jr. And it was just, I just at that point said, I think I'm hanging out here.
That was, Vegas was heaven for you. Yeah, for me, my heroes were gambling authors like Stanford Wong and Arnold Snyder, because I always wanted to beat the casinos, and 20 some years later I'm colleagues with these guys and friends with them, which to me is kind of exciting. So
no, and that's but what's cool about that night, that first night with Ed McMahon 20 years later, I became Ed McMahon's announcer. After Johnny passed away, he had a show called Memories of Tonight. Mm-hmm. And we did that show, and I was the moderator out in the audience, fielding all the questions and working with Ed. And we had a whole national tour actually planned. Then, unfortunately, Ed had broke his neck, and things kind of went downhill after that for him. But it was very cool, because you think about the people that were kind of idols to you, and then before you know it, you're working with them. So that was cool.
In addition to casinos, other organizations and or individuals sometimes might want to use your services. How would they get in touch with you?
Well, that sounded like a subtle pitch. I'll take it. I'll give you a couple ways, but the truth is 99% of my business over these years is purely word of mouth. And this town, as you guys know, is very, very small. When one guy leaves here, he does resurface over here. And, you know, currently I do all of the Caesars Entertainment properties, Rio, Planet Hollywood, Paris, Bally's, Flamingo, Imperial Palace, Harrah's, and Caesars Palace, Bellagio, Aria, some of the events at the Mirage, the M. This year was Hard Rock as well, the Palms currently, Palm Springs, couple of properties, a place called Morongo and Agua Caliente, up north in California, Calusa Casino, and there's more all the time. And so many of those came from guys going from one place to the other. I have a seldom visited website, which is yourfriendlyannouncer.com. And that shows you, I think I may try to post a picture of us dancing tonight. Well, that could drive traffic through the roof. And I'll give my phone number too, just because that's faster and better. And I know your audience is sane and normal people, so except for your postings last week, which is 702-809-2121. Good number, huh? 2121. I knew you'd like it.
Now, Kelly has this iPad of his pictures. And a couple things is, like, if there's 200 pictures of them in outrageous costumes, there's at least 60 different facial expressions. You do a mugged, funny face 60 different ways. Do you practice this? How do you get so many different ones?
Bob, look at my face. I think that says it all. I don't need to practice. It's just, it is what it is. And, you know, it's a face only a mother and my wife could love. You know, it's just, when I started 25 years ago, there was another announcer. And when he did the slot tournament and I relieved him, he said, "Jackpot's on 7. Jackpot's on 12, jackpot's on 18. And I vowed that day, I said, "Oh, I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to listen to that. You know, I want to try to be different." And it's the same thing with pictures. I mean, I've probably taken tens of thousands of photos. At the best count, by going back over all my calendars, probably given away solidly $500 million in prize money. So that's a lot of pictures. You know, a lot of pictures. So I just try to make them different. That's all.
Now, also in these pictures, there's one of you as a Chippendale dancer. Now, it was not fair that you first showed it to me while I was eating lunch. Now, as Kelly's implied, he's older and rounder than any Chippendale dancer is ever allowed to be. So how did that come about?
I prefer Chip and Dip, thank you. Chip and Dip or Chips Ahoy.
Chips Ahoy.
A number of years ago, the Rio, a wonderful man named Michael Weaver at the Rio, he's vice president now for Wynn, he negotiated with the actual Chippendale. You know, all those things have licensing issues. Everyone says they're Chippendales, but there's really only one. He got them to come out and do a short-term engagement at the Rio, and it went very, very well. So they signed them to a long-term deal, and the chips are still there. But we took it as an opportunity to turn this into a great marketing event by kind of a ladies' night thing, where we'd find a certain criteria to mail to and have a private performance.
How did you spell mail to?
Airmail. Let's use that instead. Okay. So we would have a private party, and, you know, we'd have some drawings with it, and based on play, they'd earn tickets and that sort of thing. So I had this idea that they wanted me to introduce the guys, and they were great. I had a great time with them, but as Bob and I have referenced, I'm not exactly the finest physical example of a man. And so I had my tuxedo on, but I did a breakaway tuxedo. And as some of you might know from Hollywood, that's the kind of thing where you can pull on the back of the shirt and the buttons fly open and it completely comes off. And before I introduced the guys, I went out and I said, there's no question, the men you're about to see are stunning, gorgeous, beautiful, handsome men. But ladies, face it, most of you go home and sleep with men that look like me. And at that point, the guys in the band pulled my tuxedo off and my pants. The pants broke away, and I had the Chippendale cuffs on and the Chippendale collar and a pair of heart-covered boxer shorts. That was it.
You had a heart on?
I'm sorry. Oh. Almost.
H-E-A-R-T. Ba-dum-bump. We got thank you. Uh-huh. I danced, and I'm still proud because every year I did it, I made more money than the guys did in my dance. So I went out into the audience and danced, and the ladies loved it. And that was my moment of Chippendale glory. I did that for several years.
That reminds me of a Saturday Night sketch where Chris Farley was a Chippendales dancer with Patrick Swayze.
That was the inspiration for it. I thought if he could do it, I might as well do it because it was funny.
Yeah.
I mean, and it was fun. And the ladies went crazy. I mean, they thought, you know, look at this guy. And it was fun. It was really a good time.
I don't know how much any of us learned about gambling tonight, but this is a fun evening. Kelly's a friend, and I had a ball. So thank you, Kelly.
I thank you for reminiscing, and I will do my best to post a couple of pictures of us soon.
And the website is?
YourFriendlyAnnouncer.com.
YourFriendlyAnnouncer.com. So, Michael, what did we learn tonight?
Well, I learned to not walk around in a scuba outfit in the hot sun.
Oh, good.
And when I'm running my own casino, I know who to ask to be my announcer.
I like your style, Mike.
Thank you.
Very good. So, you have bunches of wizard websites. So in addition to talking about the Holy Rollers, what else is happening on your wizard websites?
On the Wizard of Odds, we just added a Baccarat game where you can play for fun. And this is something that we've been working on for a while on. And unlike other Baccarat games you can play, this one has the full statistics display with the Big Eye Boy and the Cockroach Pig and all those other statistics and tables that...
The Cockroach Pig?
Yes. If you look at Baccarat tables, they have these display monitors, and they're just full of lines and circles and you know, for years I wondered, you know, what are these things telling me? I mean, some of them were obvious, but the ones towards the bottom, you know, I always ask the dealers, how, you know, what are these tables telling me? How does it know when to put a red circle and a blue circle? And, you know, they always said, I don't know. And finally, when I worked at the Venetian, I asked this to just everybody, and finally I met someone who understood it, and he explained it to me. So I wrote about that on my site already. But my game shows you all these tables in case you have this burning curiosity that I did. And it also shows you the odds at any given point. What are the exact odds and house advantage for all three major bets at this exact point in the shoe? So I think it's the best Baccarat game out there.
Okay, but now knowing about the Cockroach Pig will never help you get an advantage on the game.
That's though. Absolutely right.
You could win a bar bet.
Yeah, if I can put political correctness aside for the moment, Asian players are extremely superstitious, and so they study the flow of the shoe very carefully and very carefully look for trends. And sometimes there's delayed trends, and that's why they have all these various different tables to determine, you know, maybe there's a trend here, but it's skipping one or two steps. And but for all the work we put into this, none of that helps your game of Baccarat at all. If you want to have the best chances in Baccarat, bet the banker every time.
And better yet is watch somebody else bet the banker every time.
Well, I would say try to bet as little as possible, especially when the pit boss is not watching. That's a good time to pretend like you're...
Bet every other hand or every third hand.
Yeah.
All right, good. The South Point has more than 10,000 video poker games returning more than 99%. That is more than anybody else. This month, they have a virtual NASCAR promotion four times a day. Sunday through Thursday, 3:30, 4:30, 7:30, and 8:30. All players who have played $50 coin in the previous hour are eligible. You pick one of eight race drivers, and they have a race, which you'll see on a tiny TV screen right on your machine. Players who select the winning driver share in a $5,000 prize per race. Sometimes the prizes go up to $200. Sometimes they're down to $30 or $40, depending on how many people are betting on a particular driver. I suggest avoiding the popular drivers like Jeff Gordon, Jimmy Johnson, Dale Earnhardt Jr., because they have the worst chances to collect. They have an equal 1 in 8 chance to win the race, but there's going to be more people betting on them because they're popular, so the payout is going to be smaller. A couple Tuesdays ago, after my class there, Jeff Gordon won both at 3:30 and 4:30. And so anybody following my suggestion to not to bet on him still thinks I have lousy ideas. On Halloween, there will be two times points on video poker. This coming Tuesday at noon, I'll be teaching a free class on advanced NSU Deuces Wild. This class discusses penalty cards and a situation which is actually the opposite of penalty cards for a video poker game that returns 99.73% when played perfectly. Now, last week's beginner and intermediate NSU got you to about 99.9% accuracy. This week will get you the rest of the way. Now, if you take any advanced class, you're going to come to understand straight penalties, flush penalties, straight flush penalties, etc. And then once you get that basic understanding, you can apply that to almost any other game as well. The South Point is all ready to be the first casino in Nevada to have online gambling. Apparently, the Gaming Control Board thinks a few more I's need to be dotted and T's need to be crossed. It'll be soon when the South Point online casino is active, but nobody knows exactly when. At the Palms, Friday and Saturday night drawings this month total $100,000. Each drawing, 10 winners win between $100 and $3,000. And in a separate drawing, 5 of these 10 people win an entry into the final on Saturday, October 27th. On that day, one of those 40 entrants will get $50,000 all at once. The way I calculate it, this is being worth $1,250 on average for being called. Although players who earn only $100 may not like my math very much. On a personal basis, I'm going to be out of town on October 27th, so I'm not participating in the drawings this month. Since they base their mailers on a sliding average amount, a sliding number of months, I planned extra in September and extra in November simply because I knew I wouldn't be at the finals in late October. The Play, Earn, and Win Monday, Wednesday, Friday prizes for the remainder of the month will have an Oktoberfest theme. Most of these are alcohol. There's a German-inspired cuckoo clock, a small safe, and a few other prizes. On videopoker.com, the free monthly contest for October will feature 100 Play with Super Times Pay. That's a fun game, especially if you can get a good multiplier when you're dealt a good hand. That'll take place between October 24th and 31st. If you're going to play this game, the smartest one to play is the one with the highest variance. Next week is going to be a return visit by a guest named Brian McAllister. He showed up about a month ago, and he's a player who he and I reminisce about events that happened 10 years ago and more in Vegas, and kind of when we were growing up as a player. I suspect Kelly would recognize him and he would recognize Kelly, because in a lot of these events, events were one of the things Kelly went to. In 2 weeks, we are having Stacy Colombo Alonzo, who is not a woman in a binder. She is the marketing director for IGT. So we're going to be talking lots of questions about IGT.
And she hired me many years ago. You say hello to her.
We will. She hired me too. She was a marketing director at Stations Casinos when they allowed me to hire me at, I was working at Fiesta for a while when Stations owned it, still do. Eventually other people in the company really wanted me not to be there anymore. So there's only so much Stacy could do. Maybe at that point she wasn't a binder. I don't know. Very good. So, and in 3 weeks, we are going to have Arnold Snyder talking about his new novel. Arnold is one of my favorite authors. This is a fiction that he's talking about. All right, so, Kelly, what did you learn tonight about our radio show?
I learned that if I were really hardcore, I'd be listening to this every Thursday night, because you guys seem to have just about everything a fella needs to know, and where to go and how to get there, and superfluous things like cockroaches on baccarat tables that somehow, some way, I'm sure beneficial to someone.
I have no idea why they call it that. I really liked your leprechaun accent. Can you give us anything more?
Oh, you really want me to do more?
Yes.
Do you? You're a lonely man, aren't you, Michael? You don't get out much, do you?
No.
Really? Here you are in a little studio asking a fella like me to talk like a leprechaun. I tell you, magically delicious, isn't it? Oh, yes, indeed. All right. You know, how many more minutes do we have?
Oh, 3 minutes. How long can you keep that up?
Oh, well, I think we should interview Lawrence over there. Good looking fella, I tell you there, Lawrence. You come here often?
Yeah, Lawrence is somebody we really depend on.
Can you do a German accent?
Yeah. You know, there's some pictures in here of me as Helga, the German girl. It's really not attractive. But that's many an Oktoberfest I've done. But that's another one you have to be careful of, because for good reason, you know, if you get a little too much, Sergeant Schultz there, people start to think, you know, it's not a happy memory.
But so. No leprechauns have ever complained.
No, I have yet to have any filings from leprechauns for any sort of harassment issues or that sort of thing.
One subject we didn't get to is in 9 days from now, and it's going to be the October 9 from this year's World Series of Poker main event. It's going to take 2 days to crown one winner. The first guy busted out will keep the $754,000 he took home with him last July when they announced who made the October 9. The last man standing will earn $8.5 million. Although most of the October 9 are accomplished professional, there aren't any household names in the field this time, and so there isn't the buzz around it that there usually is.
I was going to say that's bad for me, because I love betting against the big nine, the big names, when it gets to the November 9.
I guess Merson would have the biggest name, Greg Merson.
Never heard of him.
Does that mean you're not going to, you have to hear of him before you can bet against him?
Well, the way I simply look at it, and I think I talked about this on an old show, is I just look at every player's stack size, and I think that's roughly proportional to their chances of winning. And but the market doesn't pay much attention to that, and they put a huge amount of attention on the big name. So, I think that if I would love it if Phil Ivey was there, because I bet betting against him would be a great bet. Not that he's a bad player, but I think the market would just overinflate his odds.
He's not too bad. Some consider him the best in the world. But other than that, he's not too bad.
But, you know, I think that if you put Phil Ivey in just one game against other really strong players, he's not going to have a huge advantage.
Good night, everybody. Go out and hit lots of royal flushes.
Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to Gambling with an Edge with your hosts, Bob Dancer and Michael Shackelford. Archived versions of past shows may be found on bobdancer.com and wizardofodds.com. We welcome emails at gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com. Bob Dancer and Michael Shackelford are both on Facebook and welcome your input or questions. Our sponsors are the South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa, the Palms Casino Resort, the website videopoker.com, and the website wizardofodds.com. Join us again next week for another Gambling with an Edge.
Bye.